Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Happy 250th birthday, America!
Yeah, close enough. It'll be in a couple days, but yeah.
Close enough.
Next, we got Pete. Pete, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I can't wait to get out to Disneyland and check out that new area that they built, Liberty Street.
Yeah, I know. And we got Steve. Steve, how's your evening going?
It's going well. I'm glad that it's cooler and not hot like the rest of the country.
Yeah, pretty much.
So. No. Even we're hot, and we're never hot.
Yeah. Okay. Air conditioning or no, Pete?
What, in my house? Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I never understand. I don't care if I need it for 2 days. I'm going to have air conditioning.
Yes.
Anyway. Guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up, and we're going to be hitting some old animated stuff here this fall that's got some anniversaries. So if you're an animated fan, and I think a lot of you are, that's where we're heading. But for this week, with the 4th of July coming up, the semi-sesquicentennial, say that 5 times fast, but we watched an old episode of, I'm guessing it was an episode of Disneyland called The Liberty Story. Liberty Story started with first 20 minutes or so were sections from Johnny Tremaine. It's a Disney movie that they did about the book. Yeah, the book's weird. The book is weird, and the movie's weird. So, but we did get to, you did see Tony from West Side Story. So it follows Johnny Tremaine, mainly the parts about Boston Tea Party, Paul Revere's Ride, and Concord and Lexington, which are very, very, very sanitized. And then the second half was a cartoon about, it was called Ben and Me. Think Ratatouille, but Ben Franklin.
That is exactly what Casey said. That is exactly what Casey said. Casey said, oh, it's Ratatouille, but make it history.
Yeah. And make it like 50 years before Ratatouille came out. So, it's essentially a mouse helps Ben Franklin come up with all his ideas and et cetera, et cetera. It's in black and white, which I found is odd just because they filmed all of these in color. And like Johnny Tremaine was in color and Ben and Me was in color originally. So I found it odd that it stayed on here as black and white.
Yeah.
But it did. So, first question is, what lit up like fireworks? What really worked from this 48-minute show for you? Pete, I'll start with you.
So, I was kind of surprised that I actually enjoyed the Johnny Tremaine stuff a little, like, somewhat. I know that as a movie, it's very boring. But the way they just kind of showed the highlights from that part of history. I grew up in Massachusetts, so like the Massachusetts history is very much omnipresent in classes and everything like that. We learn all that stuff from a very young age. And I thought they told things relatively accurately, at least the lineage of it and the timeline. I actually enjoyed that. I thought I was going to be like, oh, I just want to watch Ben and Me. I don't want to see that first part. But I enjoyed it. Just as I said, it was 20 minutes. It wasn't too long. Kind of condensed version of the start of the American Revolution. And yeah, I liked that more than I thought I was going to. So what about you, Steve?
I liked how Walt Disney was always being like promoting his park. Like his TV show was a commercial. So fascinating just to see that snippet and then a land. Maybe you could talk more of what really happened with Liberty Square at World, where I see, I guess there's more of a connection. I don't know that park as well, but just how he was just promoting it. And then, oh, I'll throw this in, but it was really a big commercial for his new land coming for his park.
Yeah, the new Liberty Street, which was kind of a takeoff of the original Edison Square, which was originally going to be in his park.
Right.
But Liberty Street was basically going to be Liberty Square at Magic Kingdom. And when they came up on the big 50th year anniversary redo, it got scrapped in favor of building out Tomorrowland, building out Fantasyland. It's just, it ran out of time. But you're right. It did basically become Liberty Square in Magic Kingdom, including Liberty Square has its own Liberty Tree. You know, the Liberty Tree Tavern has this great big live oak that there are 13 lanterns hung from. Gee, I wonder why there's 13. It has its own model of the Liberty Bell, actually cast from the same mold that they made the Liberty Bell from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and there is actually a window that has
two lanterns in it. Yes.
Why why did I work for Disney for so long and I never knew any of that?
Because you were in shows and had too much foam around your head.
That's fair.
I'd also say, like, it's an age group I teach. It was aiming that 9 to 11-year-old boy to get them excited about history. And I could see that getting drawn in and then wanting to go find out more. So it's that definitely drawing up that interest of, hey, pay attention to your history. Here's this exciting story. So I thought it did that really well.
Okay. Pete, while we're Kate and I are talking, could you look up what date this actually premiered, if it was around 4th of July or if it was some other time? For me, I've always loved Benigni. I've always loved the cartoon Benigni. I've seen it separately, but and it doesn't lose a ton by not being in color. One thing I loved about Benigni, the voices that you recognize from, and Kate, am I taking all of your answers?
Yeah, but it's okay.
Thomas Jefferson was the same guy who did John Darling and Captain Hook. You had the governor was the same guy who was King Stephen in Sleeping Beauty. So just I enjoy, and then of course there were some other like voices that are in every Disney cartoon from that period in time. Especially the Paul Bunyan one uses a ton of those old male voices. So and Gina has it May 29th. So it was, you know, coming up on the 4th of July, but I figured he would have done it for 4th of July, but I have a feeling this was probably also the Frontierland episode that was in that month. So, okay. Kate, I'm sorry, but you got anything else to add?
I remember Johnny Tremaine, but is there a Johnny Tremaine movie?
Is there a long form? That was clips from the movie. Yes.
Okay. I feel like I watched that movie. I remember reading the book Johnny Tremaine.
Most middle schoolers did at some point.
Yeah. I do not remember Johnny Tremaine being so attractive. I don't remember that. I was like, oh, he cute.
You gotta hand it to him.
I enjoyed this. So. Casey and I watched this together. I liked Ben and I, much like you, Derek, I enjoyed Ben and Me. I loved it. It sounded like Winnie the Pooh. It was the voice of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Sterling Holloway can do no wrong in Disney voices.
Yeah. And Casey was so excited because he was actually sitting at our desk over here doing his own thing. And he kept turning around and being like, is that Captain Hook? Is that da-da-da-da-da? During Benigni, which I thought was funny. And I mean, as a historical, I know that this was like super whitewashed and super like, make this literally look a lot prettier than
literally.
It was. I still think it was interesting hearing about the differences in combat between the British and the guerrilla warfare style.
And that was actually fairly true.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I hadn't really, I also never knew, and I'll be really honest, I don't know what the correct terminology is to say I'm guessing it's indigenous people. I didn't know that the people who did the Boston Tea Party dressed up as Native Americans or the indigenous.
And that is actually true also. Yes.
Yeah. I had no idea because Casey was like, I was like, wait, they dressed up like Native Americans? And Casey was like, yeah. I said, why? I don't ever remember that.
And they did it very, very poorly. It was they did it. They didn't care really if they people knew who they did, but they just didn't want people to say, oh, no, it was Indians who did it. Yeah, that's it.
Got it. Well, I surprisingly learned a little bit because I didn't know that, which is crazy. So, but I liked it.
And one thing that's interesting, if you ever go to visit Boston area and Lexington and Concord, there's actually the trail that the British walked back is now like a walking path. And along the walking path, there are plaques and where like, and each of the plaques like commemorates so-and-so shot a British soldier at this location. And as you walk along, it's because that's basically what they were doing is like, they would like run ahead, hide, and the British, I mean, just like they showed it, the British would march along and then they'd go, boom, shoot a couple of them and then just run off. So
crazy. Yeah. The first day, the British lost the first day of the Revolutionary War. So, but
So it did air. It aired May 29th, 1957. So it was more of a Memorial Day than a 4th of July. But
because back then, Memorial Day was actually the 31st, no matter what day of the week it was.
Yeah.
So, okay. So if that's what lit this up like fireworks, what should be in Boston Harbor? What did not work for this? Kate, I'll start with you.
There were a few parts that like, oh, that didn't need to well. The Native American section. But again, that's, oh, I've got to sneeze. That's what happened. I don't have a lot negative to say about Ben and Me. I thought it was, I already told you what I loved. But there were parts, I guess, during, was it just called Johnny Tremaine? That was what it was?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
First one, that were like, this feels like it was, I don't feel like this is exactly how this went down, but... But now, as I'm sitting in this moment right now, I'm like, of course, I can't really think of anything. I don't have a lot negative to say about this. I think it was it makes sense that it came out in the year that it did. It felt a little whitewashed, but it was 1957. So it makes sense. But I want to hear what other people say. Pete, you go.
Yeah, it kind of... the thing that caught me was like, and again, probably would have been fairly historically accurate, but you have this story that's being told and it's all men. And then there's this one woman and that back then that was kind of how movies were made, right? It was all men and then one woman. And then like, she gets like dragged in and she's like, don't go, Johnny. So it's very, you know, kind of sad to, the roles for women back then, I guess, was the one thing that jumped out at me. And then the Ben at Me, I can't help but get a little bit annoyed that like, oh, so Benjamin Franklin was an idiot and a mouse invented all his stuff. Cause that's what the story was. And I was like, okay. Yeah.
Well, anyone mouse. Can cook, anyone can't invent.
Right.
So,
well, I was good with when they had like, oh, the mouse, you know, helped with it. But it's like, hey, Ben, invent the stovepipe, the stovepipe oven or whatever. Here, Ben, I invented bifocals. So I was a little annoyed with it, but not really. I mean, it was cute for sure. Steve?
I think a lot like what you and Kate have both said, like sort of being the whitewash, sanitized version of history. But you said it's from the 50s. What would you expect from that time period? And then, like Derek, nothing was wrong with Ben and Me. I remember watching it in grade school on the old film projector in color.
I knew that was going to be a good afternoon.
Yes, like so. That's where I've seen that. So. like, I think like laughing later, like we said, like this is Ratatouille history style of where a mouse has done all these great things. So,
yeah.
And interesting enough, so this came out into May. Johnny Tremaine actually didn't come out until 3 weeks later.
Oh.
So it was actually a preview for the movie Johnny Tremaine.
That sounds like cool.
That sounds marketing, like cool, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, good marketing. That was smart.
The part that annoyed me was the intro to Ben and Me.
You didn't like the little books?
The little books. It's one of the, I know what you're doing, Walt. I get it. But to go from you're talking about historical events, to treating that with the same historical event accuracy. I know it's Walt. I'm just going, he had me until the little books. and just, yeah.
Well, so. Especially the way he was like, and this gentleman sent me this letter with this information and like saying it very sincerely.
Yeah.
And you know.
When you look at it.
Because Yolanda was all like, really? They found that in the wall? And I was like, no.
When you look, the story was by Bill Peet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I actually am not going to lie. I fell for it at first. I was like, wow.
So you saw the little books? And
gifted it to Disney? Like, wow, they found this old newspaper. How cool is that? And then he kept going and I was like, oh. Okay.
Yeah. So. Okay, so 4th of July coming up. My question is, and we're all from the United States here, what is your favorite Independence Day tradition? And it can be like, let's just say July 4th, period. You can do it on the 3rd, you can do it on the 5th, whatever. But what's your favorite Independence Day tradition for you, Kate?
So when I think about Independence Day, the thing that makes me the most nostalgic, I love watching The Sandlot, specifically for the scene where they are playing baseball, and the fireworks are going off, and you have Ray Charles's "God Bless America" playing.
America the Beautiful.
America the Beautiful. Thank you. That to me is the 4th of July. That is as nostalgic as I can get. Fireworks are fine. I don't need them. I know that they scare a lot of dogs and a lot of veterans, so I'm okay. I just like the kind of coming together of people. Like that, just the coming together, the celebration of summer, just that snapshot in the Sandlot to me is, if I could have like my perfect 4th of July, it would be that moment.
I'm as simple as fireworks. I just need I've seen some really terrible ones, but I generally, you know, a reasonable 5 to 10 minute firework show. You know, it doesn't have to be spectacular. It doesn't have to be Disney World. It doesn't have to be, you know, New York or Washington, but give me a firework show. So that's.
Do you have a favorite firework show? There is a correct answer to this.
Okay. Disney or non-Disney?
Any, but there is a correct answer to this.
It's Wishes, right?
Yes, it is. It's Wishes, and I will die on the hill that Wishes is the best firework show.
The original Phantom of the Sea in the Sky was awfully darn close.
Yes, and Hallow Wishes. Sorcery in the Sky was also very good, but the original Wishes, bar none, best firework show.
So
and that's kind of why I'm caveating it. It's like if I'm talking about the best fireworks, it's like you gotta go to Disney, but like I'm fine with 4th of July, just my local. I think it's kind of fun that like, hey, my town does a firework show and, you know, spends whatever $20,000 of my I like thinking my taxpayer money went to that, not to, you know,
fair enough,
funding the water department or something. So Steve, what about you?
Well, growing up when you're younger, it was all the neighborhood's kids setting off our fireworks in the middle of the street once eventually got dark. as I'm older now, like Seattle area, we always joke summer doesn't start until after the 4th of July because we tend to have colder weather. But it's a good like grilled like hamburger, getting together and barbecuing. You know, grilled hamburger, good potato salad.
Hamburgers is not barbecue, but
well. Okay. Well, okay. Grilled hamburgers.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not like good barbecue. We don't have good barbecue here.
You probably don't have good barbecue.
There's two things. So. There's barbecue, the food, and then there's a barbecue, which is an event, I would argue. And a barbecue, I'm with Steve on this one. Yes. A barbecue is somebody's got a grill.
And grilling food.
And you got salads and you got, you know,
that's a cookout
and some watermelon and you're, I know it's a cookout, but in New England, anyways, we called it a barbecue too.
Kate, you're with me on this one, aren't you?
A cookout or a barbecue, the name of it?
Yeah. Okay. If you're out there grilling burgers and hot dogs, is that a cookout or a barbecue?
It's a barbecue.
Yes. None of y'all care about your farm. Anyway, I will say I'm with Peter. It's fireworks. Fireworks for me. The more stuff you can blow up, the better. Now, I don't do firecrackers. I don't do firecrackers just because I don't just need the just pure noise. And I cannot do Saturn missiles. But the great big mortar shells that go up and explode everywhere, love them. My hometown is fairly small, but is actually doing fireworks this year. As I said, I'm with Kate. I know the veterans, they bug the veterans, and a lot of dogs don't like them. I'm lucky to have my dog doesn't care about loud noises. So, but that is for me. 4th of July without fireworks is just kind of another evening. It's been watch the Disney fireworks at when they go off at 10 o'clock there. That's 9 o'clock our time. Then by the time they're over, it's almost dark enough for us to go start shooting ours off. So, and as Steve said, in the middle of the street.
Yep.
So. Okay, guys, any other thoughts for Liberty Story? I mean, I think it sounds like... Yeah, go ahead, Pete.
I appreciate, in the day and age that we live in now, I appreciate something that didn't have an overtly political message.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. That it was just talking about, you know, United States and liberty, and you know there was no message behind it that you know trying to.
I will say even the bicentennial had not a lot of political. If you look at some of the stuff from the bicentennial in 1976,
right,
not a lot of overtly political stuff on that. So
yeah, I picture that, but. Even there, I was too young to really remember it, particularly other than that it existed. I don't know about you. You know, Steve, you and I are the same age.
Yeah.
I barely. I just remember a lot of flags. So.
Okay. Well, as we always do, we do Cubs and Pixie out of 5 for standalone shows and movies and series that we watch. So for The Liberty Story, this one Disneyland episode, Kate, what are you giving it?
So this is hard for me because, like, I'm going to give it a 3 because I didn't dislike it, but I also don't feel like it deserves a 3, but I didn't dislike. I don't have a lot negative that I can say about it, but I don't feel like it deserves a 3. Maybe I'll go to it. Okay, I'm going to go 2.5. I don't have a reason. Go ahead, Pete.
I'm going to give it a 3. I enjoyed it. I think it deserves a 3. Ben and me would probably, if it was alone, would probably be higher than that. Maybe a 3.5 or a 4.
Especially if it was in color.
And especially honestly. If it was in color. Yeah. But overall, I enjoyed the whole thing. If a couple years from now, you know, my wife said, hey, let's watch that Liberty story episode again, I'd be like, yeah, I'll watch that again. That was, you know, it's short and it's entertaining. So yeah, I'm giving it a 3. Steve?
I'm going with a 2. It was like Ben and Me would be like a strong 3, but overall, like I'm putting the entire thing together. I had a hard time keeping my interest. So 2.
Okay. And I'm going to go with 3. I'm kind of like Pete. If this is on, if I see this in a couple years, I've always remembered liking Ben and Me. And the Johnny Tremaine stuff was not as annoying as I thought it could have been because it was short. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, would I watch this again line is usually about a 3. And this is a solid 3 for me. So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news?
We only have one thing for Disney Plus news. Disney Moves? Celebrates America Ooh. 250 will stream this weekend on Disney Plus. It starts at 10 p.m. Eastern time on Friday with a look inside the Statue of Liberty, then continues with segments from all the 50 states and a concert from Nashville starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. It will also feature a fireworks and drone show with live music from the Nashville Symphony. Additionally, the finale of the show will be the Walt Disney World and Disneyland fireworks shows.
Which That's I'm it. Curious how they're going to do them both at the same time. I'm guessing the Disney World ones will be taped.
I wasn't under the impression they're doing both at the same time, but maybe you're right. Maybe.
Yeah.
I assumed they were both going to be live, but one was going to be way later. That's
that,
what I thought.
That was my assumption, but that's kind of how I've seen the phrasing of what I've seen.
Okay.
So anyway. So next week we are going to be watching the series Mall. Has one season come out this last spring. And I know Pete's watched it. Steve watched some of it. Gene in the background has seen it. I have not watched any of it yet. Kate is not going to be here for it. So sorry, Kate. We can postpone it if you'd like us to, or should we soldier on?
No, it's fine. Soldier on. I understand I understand the sacrifices you all are making for me. I get it.
So, yeah, we're going to be watching Mall. I haven't seen it. I hear it's good. Pete says it's pretty good. So we're going to give it a shot. If it had been terrible, we probably wouldn't be watching it. So I'm assuming Pete's going to be the defender of the Star Wars faith on this one. So, but if you have other things you want to see us watch, please send me an email, plusplatoon@gmail.com. Messages, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I know we've got some new subscribers out there. So please let us know what on the Disney Plus you want us to watch. We've got new episodes coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gene in the background, I hope everyone has a happy and safe 4th of July, and we will see everyone back here next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.